This is the Capital Toyota Sports Ticket, the only local sports talk show in the Mid-Willamette Valley. Now, here's Jeff Morgan and Hunter Newton on 1430 KYKN.
Well, here we are. It's another Friday, and we are just getting started. This is going to be the one of many hour and a half sports ticket shows for the next 3 months.
Yeah, like eight or nine of these things in a row after being jumbled about thanks to Mariners baseball for the last few months.
Yeah, hopefully we're fairly consistent, which I think that we're going to be since we have high school football starting up tonight and Sheldon is coming into West Salem. We're going to have Mike Alliger live out at the West Salem Stadium. What do you? Is there a name for that stadium?
Let's see.
Titan Stadium?
Titan Town? I don't know.
I don't know. Anyways, that should be an interesting game. I think both those squads are going to be pretty stinking good again this year. So that's going to be a fun one for Alliger and Charlie to call.
Yeah. And of course, because we got high school football on tonight, we will not be broadcasting the Mariners game, which we were talking before we went on the air here. The Mariners are in the driver's seat in this thing.
Believe it or not.
I'm going, yeah, they're in third place right now behind Texas and Houston. But if you look at the schedule for the remainder of the season, the Mariners have three head-to-head with the Rangers. They get two head-to-head with the Astros. Otherwise, the Mariners are playing the bottom of the barrel. The Athletics of right. Sacramento. They get to play the Angels. And they get to play the Colorado Rockies.
I think we should call them the Los Oakland Athletics.
The Los Oakland?
The Los Oakland.
Whatever. Sack. We'll come up with, well, next year they should be the Las Vegas Athletics.
Well, we'll see. That stadium is, from the pictures that I've seen, it's coming along.
Yeah.
It's right in the middle of, like, everything off of Flamingo. It's a cool spot.
It's going to be a Vegas trip, maybe a company Vegas trip.
Yeah, I'm trying to quit.
Quit Vegas.
I actually don't even like it down there. I just go down there for the sports and the golf.
Well, there's the A's now. There's going to be, the Raiders are there.
It's pretty cool. Hey, by the way, we might get a drive-by from Brian Merrill of Sprinter Van. Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van over there at West Salem tonight. So be on the lookout.
Okay.
I don't know what color it's going to be, but there's going to be a Sprinter van driving by.
Okay. Well, then what we probably need to do is talk to Brian, have him provide us with a road trip ready Mercedes Sprinter van. We'll go to Vegas and catch a Mariners A's game next year.
Okay. We'll have to put that on the docket.
That's right.
Good deal. Yeah. Speaking of that, we were talking about that earlier that, the Mariners they're right there. They have arguably the easiest schedule in September of any of the ball clubs in their division.
Yep. Well, and you look and you go, Houston's got matchups with like Arizona and the Red Sox and some of these teams that are still fighting for their life. Texas Rangers, they don't get a reprieve this month. I think the Mets are probably the easiest opponent for the Rangers riding it out the rest of the way. And I go, normally when you're talking, we're in September, team is in third place in their division, out of the wild card race, you sit there and go, well, it's over, let's move on. But I'm looking at it going, Mariners are playing nothing but sub 500 teams besides the teams they're chasing the rest of the way. And the Rangers have a very difficult schedule. Houston, besides four against the A's and the head-to-head with the Mariners, they're playing tough schedule.
You know, we were talking about this over a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
All the Mariners had to do was get through August fairly unscathed because that schedule was absolutely brutal. You played every one of the top teams and they came out probably about four or five games under 500, I think. And that was only because they got swept by Toronto and then lost one to Boston.
And that's the kicker. They came out scathed. But there was enough scathing for the rest of the AL West that they're still within reach. And for me, I think it is AL West champion or bust. I don't think they're going to sneak in as a wild card team.
Well, you look at the AL West, and this is the worst and has been like the worst division in all of baseball for I don't know how long.
Well, the irony is the AL West is a 500 division. I mean, being a game or two above 500, you're probably going to win it at the end of the day. But the American League in general has only got like five or six teams that are above 500 this season. And I don't know what it is. Is it a major power shift over to the National League? But yet the American League keeps winning All-Star games.
Yeah, it is. It's very strange. It's hard to know really what to make. It doesn't even make any sense. I mean, because I think if the Mariners can get in, which I think that they will, I think they're going to make a dent. We've got Cal Raleigh. I mean, shoot, that guy's got, what, 8 home runs in the last week or so?
Finally catching on fire.
So he's got, what, 20, 21, and he only had like 12 about a week and a half ago.
Well, I go back and I look at this thing a little bit and I go, you know, it used to be a day when the American League only played the American League, the National League only played the National League. So you didn't have the potential, because there's actually talk about it right now. The winner of the AL West realistically could be a sub 500 team, which has never happened in baseball. It's happened in the NFL a few times. I think maybe even the NBA's had some teams sneak into the playoffs. But never in Major League Baseball has a sub 500 team made the playoffs. But in the last couple of years, so virtually they went American only played American, National only played National. And then they said, okay, interleague game. So we play random series of interleague. And then they balanced the leagues to 15 teams a league. So you got five in each of the three divisions, which then created daily interleague play. And now we've gone to almost a fully balanced schedule, because even when they first started the daily interleague, you would play your division rivals a few series and then one series against other teams here and there. But now, because it is so balanced, that's what we're seeing, is teams are, 500 or below and still in contention in their divisions.
You know, it's interesting. I know the Dodgers, they're kind of resting Ohtani right now just to kind of get him ready for the playoffs, because Let's be honest, they're in. So why would you play all of your guys? And we still have a month to go. I mean, you can't really sit on your laurels, but I think they've got the best pitching.
Oh, yeah.
And they've got the best hitting. And they should, with the payroll that they have. And so that leads us to, is there going to be another collective bargaining? And are we going to even have a season? I know this is way too early.
Yeah.
It's the way too early prediction that everybody always makes. But is there going to be a baseball season next year? And if there is, that's going to be super detrimental to MLB.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing, is right now we are about 23, 24 days out from the end of the year. I think September 27th is the last regular season games this year. And then we go into the playoffs, and then once we have a World Series champion, all eyes are going to go on to be the labor agreement. And rumors are flying already that the owners are saying salary cap or nothing, and that they're preparing for not having a Major League Baseball season a year from now.
Yeah, it's too bad. It's too bad that it comes to this, but I get it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, something's got to change. I mean, at least you need to have rules, which the NCAA football... leaders, they have no rules. They've created a monster. And we're going to get into that later, because there's so much to talk about on that. It's ridiculous.
Do you think that Major League Baseball executives right now are looking at the NCAA and the disaster it is becoming and going, we can't even slightly risk this scenario?
I don't even think they could possibly match it. Because seriously, it's like lawlessness all over the place. Mm-hmm. Nobody's in charge. Nobody wants to make a decision because... Is everybody running scared?
I think so.
I mean, it's...
Here's the problem. One of the biggest problems with professional sports in general is the players truly hold the vast majority of the power. And we saw it with the WNBA and their recent labor agreement, where the players pretty much demanded, we expect X amount of dollars. And the NBA, not the WNBA, because they don't actually pay their own bills, pretty much had to agree to what they wanted. Simply because such a struggling league finally has a few things that people want to actually see. They needed to get them on the court. But now, of course, it's turning into the woke circus in that league. So that's the thing, is a salary cap works in the NFL. It works in the NBA. But you have to figure out how it would work in Major League Baseball. And I like the fact that this initial kind of... discussion has both a high-end salary cap and a low-end salary cap. Because one thing that's always occurred is you get a team like the Athletics that are preparing to leave Oakland. They got all of their payroll and, you know, go a couple of years as a nomad kind of style. And you go, well, but that doesn't make it a lot of fun when you literally have one guy with 3 years of major league experience and a roster of rookies around him. So that's where the struggle for Major League Baseball is going to lie, is are the players willing to sit here and say, we're willing to put a cap at the high end in exchange for that cap at the low end?
That's a good question. I don't know, but on the flip side of that, do you think that there's going to be agreements like we have Otani and who is the other dude that played for the Mets that gets paid $1 million?
Oh, Bobby Bonilla.
Yeah, Bobby Bonilla. Well, Bobby Bonilla Day.
Yep.
I mean, is that going to be able to be accomplished anymore? I don't think that it will be. I think they're going to nip all this crazy stuff that they found loopholes for forever. Mm-hmm. They're going to have to shut it down.
Well, and that'll be a trick. I don't think they will ever get rid of the deferred money aspect, because when you're talking about cash on hand versus salary cap and salaries, what would have to be factored in is Otani's yearly average salary, not what he's actually putting in his pocket today versus what he's going to put in his pocket 10 years from now.
That's not really a bad move.
And the teams like it, the players like it. So the deferred money aspect, I don't see going anywhere, but they will have to figure out how you factor, you know, an average yearly salary during the playing versus what they're paid after versus what they get in bonus money up front. And it's going to be crazy. I mean, that's like the NFL. We see the loopholes of the NFL are we pay them a signing bonus, and then they have a lower yearly salary and it's not guaranteed and yada, yada, and all the, you know, the ways they manipulate the system to get top-notch players in for minimum dollars.
You know, I think deferred payments are fantastic, especially if you can go live somewhere. You're not actually playing anymore, mm-hmm. but you're getting paid, and so you pay taxes where you live at this point from your ex ball club.
Yeah,
and so really, you're going to eliminate. Say Otani goes back to Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there's no taxes anymore. Yeah.
Well, and look at it this way. What if let's go for an extremist mentality. Seattle just passed their millionaires tax. So how do you deal with that as a bringing in a player to play for the Seattle Mariners, but they're going to be taxed at such a high rate? Well, you defer the money. Now they can be out of the city. They mm-hmm. can be out of, you know, the area, and now we can pay them that way. So it makes some sense in that way. I mean, Oregon, if they ever get a major league team, it'll be the exact same way.
Right.
High tax rates. So.
Yeah, I really don't see that happening anymore.
I don't either.
I really don't. I mean, just this whole state is just. Anyway, that doesn't even matter. That's a rabbit hole that we're not even going to go down.
Well, we could. We got an hour and a half here because we got our extended show this week, Jeff.
I think Mike Gallagher is going to be calling us pretty soon. Is he not?
Oh, probably after the next segment. So let's go ahead and take a break. You're listening to Sports Ticket. We're going to come back. We're going to talk a little more, and then we'll get Mike to call us. He's still setting up out there at West Salem.
All right, sounds good.
You know, they're still a little while away from kickoff at 7 o'clock tonight.
Good deal.
So you're listening to Sports Ticket, 1430 KYKN.
The Capital Toyota Sports Ticket with Jeff and Hunter continues on 1430 KYKN.
And welcome back to the Sports Ticket. Mike Gallagher is going to be a little bit longer, so we're going to let him set up a little bit. And while he's doing that, this segment, Hunter, is being brought to you by Color Tile of Salem, right down there on Lancaster Drive in the Academy Square, where he's got the Labor Day sale going on right now. Huge savings. So if you are doing something, if you need waterproof flooring, that's where you need to go. Go see Dave.
All right. Well, we know that Mike didn't make his stop there on the way out to West Salem this week. So that's good news.
Did he need waterproof flooring?
He might. Have you looked outside lately? Fall is here, buddy.
Isn't that weird? All of a sudden, I mean, what was it, 80 on Monday? And then all of a sudden,
we just turned a corner.
It was like the real field was like 51 yesterday. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, it quickly got chilly, quickly got cloudy, and now we've been dealing with rain.
It's kind of nice, though. We need it big time.
Well, so, you know, speaking of rainy Northwest, you brought it up, so we're just going to go into it. Major League Baseball is looking to expand. The NBA is looking to expand. The NBA has said, we are looking at Seattle and Las Vegas for expansion. Major League Baseball is kind of open right now. They're taking applications. They're looking for it. Rumors I am hearing is you know, North Carolina, South Carolina, somewhere in the Carolinas are very likely to end up with a team. Dave Stewart, former Oakland A's pitcher, Dodgers pitcher, Phillies pitcher, World Series.
That guy was a stud. He threw BBs.
Yeah, he is heading an ownership group, and the idea of black ownership in the Carolinas is a big deal. So take one off the board.
Just the Carolinas?
Huh? Well, that's where
ownership
he wants.
Is a big deal anywhere.
Well, it is. I'm saying but that's where he would want the team to go.
Okay, fair enough.
So I'm kind of taking one potential location off of the map right now. Portland, if you go back a few years, I could say Portland was probably a very likely second destination, simply because it creates a scenario where you get a natural rivalry with the Mariners in Seattle. you have those opportunities, you know, add to that West Coast. But now, especially with what we see with the Trailblazers, I go slim to none at best.
You know, it's too bad, to be honest with you, that we don't have too many bright people up in Portland that can actually make an agreement that's conducive to both sides. It always has to be one-sided. They have to rule and to their own demise. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because I've seen pictures of that stadium, it looks really stinking cool.
Yeah, the concept arts and
I mean, it looks
like
unbelievable.
That.
And it's just like, I remember Mike Barrett. I mean, he was, you know, he was the ex-voice of the Blazers mm-hmm. trying to get Major League Baseball to come up here. And I think that thing's dead in the water.
I think so, too. I mean, when you really look at it, the Trailblazers and the saga that they have gone through is almost identical to what Seattle went through 15 years ago, which led to the Sonics leaving town. If the city of Portland had taken a look at what occurred up there, and the moment new ownership was announced, go, let's get to the table and let's make a deal happen. Let's do what we need to do to make the Moda Center up to par, yada, yada. Well, then I think Major League Baseball and all these other groups would be looking at it going, okay, it is a very viable option.
Well, here's the thing though, Hunter. I mean, they don't have any money. And the reason is because they've pretty much destroyed their city. They don't have anybody leasing any of the buildings downtown. How much availability is downtown? So there's no tax revenue coming in for the city. So they can't help them because of their own stupidity.
Well, come on, all that empty space. I'm thinking of all the batting cages that they could put in all around Portland. Come on. But no, realistically, and that to me is such a big factor. If they had said, we love the Blazers, keep the Blazers at all costs, yada, yada, Major League Baseball would have probably looked at Portland and said, great, let's see what we can make happen. But with this back and forth, this controversy is drawn out, the Blazers, I still suspect, are probably going to leave town at the end of the day. I don't see Major League Baseball coming into a market without any other major sports franchise there.
I agree.
I think Salt Lake City, Utah becomes a better option when you're looking at their proximity to the Colorado Rockies creates that rivalry. The Montreal Expos, I could see them returning. And a few other places around this country where the rumors are flying and people are motivated and they're much more business friendly.
You know, what about Boise? Nobody's really talked about Boise because that's an up and coming city in Idaho. So why would you not do that? Or do you go to Coeur d'Alene?
Well,
because that's up by Spokane.
I don't see it happening in Idaho until it reaches a certain level. It's the same question I had years ago when we had this league called the Pac-10. And they added two teams in the Pac-10. I said, why wouldn't you go get Boise State? They're one of the top non-Power 5 conference teams in the nation. They're looking great out there week after week. They're making playoffs, you know, such and such. And I'm kind of going, why wouldn't you add them for the competition aspect of the Pac-12? And then when you realize it was more about market size to bring in Utah and Colorado than it was about potential opponents.
I agree with you on Salt Lake City over Boise. No doubt about it. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a no-brainer because everybody there, Utah, just go up and down the 15 freeway up there. I mean, there's tons of cities. Mm-hmm. There's tons of people.
And that'll be the big holdback of Idaho getting Major League Baseball. They need a city to reach the point of getting close to Portland size.
I think when you look at Boise going all the way out west to basically the Oregon-Idaho border, you've got Meridian out there, you got Nampa out there. I mean, that place has grown by leaps and bounds. Yep. And so I don't know the exact number of people in that vicinity, but there's a lot.
I could be fully wrong because with so many people, you know, running out of Oregon and Washington and California, they might explode overnight, you know?
I mean, maybe Portland's going to be going down and Boise's going to be going up.
I could see that happening. I think, we're not a political show, so we shouldn't dive too hard to that. But it all
intertwines anymore. There's no getting away from anything.
No.
Unfortunately.
And that's the reality of things. And you know, Portland has dropped the ball in so many ways. And the irony of the Portland, out of all of the markets Major League Baseball is talking about expanding into, there's only two that really are, you know, if they said tomorrow we're going to put a team in Montreal, they've got, you know, the Olympic Stadium up there where the Expos used to play. Granted, it's probably pretty run down at this point, but it's,
I think they need a new one.
It was a major league caliber. Well, so I'm talking about a 2-year period like in Vegas where we need a team to be able to play major league baseball in the area. You have a place to play that was a major league stadium at one point, even as you build a new one. The Hillsboro Hop Stadium, they have done so many renovations that a Portland team technically could be playing in Hillsboro for a couple of years while they built this stadium in the Portland proper.
It's kind of like a Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly the
thing. I sit here and go, your minor league affiliate sets you up for success, and your city drops the ball.
Yeah, everybody's dropping balls.
that's what sports is all about.
That's right.
In some sports, they call them missed catches.
Some
are
more than
are
others.
Errors.
I don't know exactly. Right.
And others, they're turnovers.
There's plenty of errors. Let's just call it. There's no doubt about that. It's Air Central up in Portland.
Since we're talking Major League Baseball, we might as well reference it the right way.
That's exactly right. All right, shoot. Okay, I think Mike's almost ready. So let's get out to a break. We'll come back and we'll hear from Mike and Charlie as. Up over there across the river in West Salem. We'll be back right after these important messages.
Back to the Capital Toyota Sports Ticket. Now, here's Jeff Morgan and Hunter Newton on 1430 KYKN.
And welcome back to the Sports Ticket. We thought we'd have Mike on, but apparently he went through the drive-thru of Domino's and got his $7.99 carryout pizza and's chomping down on that. And, he's not ready. He's not set up yet, so we have to wait.
We got to wait. He said he needs about 5 more minutes. You know, he's enjoying a nice slice of pepperoni right now. And, you know, it's smart of him. I'll give him that credit. But, you know, delay us in our sports ticket show.
You know, you think you know somebody.
I know.
And it's just like, gosh, Domino's always gets in the way. So I'm surprised he didn't order, you know, online and get 20% off. That would have probably been actually better. And they probably would have delivered to the field.
Cool would that be? Have it delivered to the press box at West Salem High School?
Yeah, I mean, the Domino's is right there off of Taggart in West Salem. I mean, they can just cruise right up there.
That's right.
I don't know. He wasn't thinking properly.
All right. Well, we've got a couple of minutes. We heard about a little squabble at a Chicago and WNBA game between Enos Kanter Freedom. She was there to attend, say she facetiously, because that's the fun of it. This game. She's already declared for the WNBA draft for next year. But one of the Chicago players was upset with her presence and started a little squabble until the crew at the Chicago Stadium arena walked Enos Kanter Freedom out, and he was removed from the game and told never come back.
Okay, so you just said she and then he. I was wondering where you were going with this thing.
I was trying to hold it.
Wait a minute. I didn't know that was a girl or woman or whatever the heck.
Hey, something declared for the WNBA draft, and gosh darn it, we need to respect his or her identity.
I don't even know what to say about that. I thought the whole thing was ridiculous, but we talked about this at the break too, while we were waiting for Mike, is that this is the first time that a fan has been kicked out of a game by a player and getting ramrodded by a player, and the player doesn't get any sort of disciplinary action.
Yeah, I was a little shocked because all the videos I've seen, he was watching the game. She took offense to him being there and went after him verbally and never physically actually confronted him, but moved in his direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he had his hands up in the air. Hey, I'm not doing anything, whatever. And all of a sudden, he's being escorted out.
So I have never once seen a scenario like this. We can go back. I mean, let's say Boise State is playing at Oregon this week. Do we remember that game in Boise State a number of years ago?
Yes,
where
LeGarrette
that running
Blunt.
Back? Yeah. Uh-huh. They didn't say, oh, no, no punishment for LeGarrette. The fan was, you know, offending him, and he had to go after it.
Yeah, the fan was being belligerent.
Yeah.
And to be honest, well, I mean, then again, you know, LeGarrette threw a punch at a, you know, wasn't it the coach?
I think
he took a coach down on the field. And so that really is what got him. But
and of
the
course
second
they,
one.
And of course, the Ducks lost that game, too. So double frustration heading in there. So but you can go back to the Ron Artest incident in the NBA and all these things. If a player is going after and provoking a fan, usually there's some kind of punishment for the player.
And yes.
There hasn't been, at least not that I have heard.
No, and there won't be. I mean, they have different rules.
Mm-hmm.
If they have rules at all. See, anything goes in the NBA for the women. They can do whatever they want to.
We don't
because
know
they're.
W, we don't know that the W.
We don't know if the W
women.
Or if it's an MW or a WM.
WNBA could be a whatever.
Whatever.
They won't define it. Yeah. And that was the thing that, of course, the media is focused on. Is Enos's shirt said woman with the definition on it. And, oh, we can't be having that. But he has filed a lawsuit against the Chicago basketball team, the city of Chicago, and the group that runs the arena, saying that he was unlawfully ejected from the game. Snuck in underneath the headlines around the same time. It might have been a day or two before or after this event. Another fan was sitting courtside, and one of the players accused him of using racial comments. Security removed him, had a talk with him, found out that it was totally unjustified to have him removed, so they allowed him to return to his seat.
Yeah, it's going to get worse.
Well, here's the thing. You know, NBA players, we've seen them for decades. They get, you know, trash talked at. They get people, especially if they're playing on the road, talking bad at them, I'm sure, all game long. But yet I don't see them pointing out a fan and saying, kick them out, remove them.
No, all I see are fans being very belligerent,
mm-hmm.
and they are.
Which happens.
It does.
And if you're a pro athlete, you got to be able to deal with it. The fact that the WNBA is allowing players to determine fans, whether the fans get to be there to watch them person by person, is not acceptable. If they're throwing things on the court, which we've seen a little of that, that's a different scenario.
Mm-hmm.
But a fan is there talking and... you know, for a player to be able to sit there and go, they offended me. They hurt my feelers.
Key word.
Toughen up.
Offended. They're all offended.
Oh, yeah.
They all get offended. And this is the only league that, you, like you said, they're allowing that. And it's because there's women and it's a women's league. And so they get offended and they get emotional.
You keep saying women's league.
It is.
The league won't tell you. It says in their bylaws that only women are allowed to play, but they can't tell you what a woman is. They and as Enos Kanter Freedom has said, and Royce White has said, they fit every bit of description to play in the WNBA as things currently stand.
I agree. And so is Enos going to take the next step?
I think this lawsuit says he is. So we'll see how this goes.
Oh,
and,
my gosh. Is it, you can't make this stuff up.
No, it's getting to be bizarro, crazy world out there.
Wow. Welcome to the new America.
Mm-hmm.
I guess.
All right. Should we give Mike another try?
We'll give him. This is his last chance.
We've given
right
him
now.
His 5 minutes.
Yeah. So. If he can't get his stuff together, I don't know what's going on. He's probably got pizza all over those stupid.
tomato
we're
going
to have to clean those
speaker.
Things up. All right. We're taking a break. We'll be back after this.
The Capital Toyota Sports Ticket with Jeff and Hunter continues on 1430 KYKN.
All right. We are back. The Sports Ticket. We are live in the studio. We finally got Mike Alliger to finally get on with us over at West Salem, getting his stuff together over there. And by the way, before we get out to Mike, it is being brought to you by, not it, the Sports Ticket, this segment, Bill and Weinberger Bar down on South Commercial.
Mm-hmm. Best burgers in town.
I think so.
I think I agree.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Oh, Mike, you're listening. Oh, my
there.
Gosh.
Mike's here. We got him.
Well, I figured if Salem is listening, I should be.
Well, there you go. Good. So what's it like out there in West Salem right now, Mike?
It's not as rainy as yesterday, but it's going to be a nice night for the first night of football as we kick it off, not only here for the local Valley, but on KYKN and West Salem. Unranked coming in. They're not supposed to be ranked. They're coming off a 5-5 season, ready to take on a team that went 2-7 last year, being Sheldon Irish. The year before that, Sheldon was in the semifinals, but then things changed at Sheldon High School. So we're going to see two teams that want to get back in the playoffs that didn't get there last year at playing in the opener, and we're excited because we know these are two hot dynamite teams.
I'm shocked that Sheldon went like 2-whatever.
Well, they were like last year's Penn State. You know, they lost their first game, and then the wheels kind of fell off.
Wow, because they've got some great players.
About nine transfers to Willamette High School.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I remember they lost a lot of players over to Willamette, who then got real close to the championship.
Yeah,
well, they did. Yeah.
They were getting two wins, almost three, and they should have had a win, I think, last week. They had four turnovers against Thurston. Thurston only beat them by 3-20-17, and they threw a pick six, which was really the killer, and then they missed a chance to score inside the red zone near the end. So this is a good team. Sheldon football is well coached by a former quarterback for their 2007 team. That's their head coach, and he's got a lot of former Irish on that bunch down there, plus a lot of talented young men who live in that Lane County, Eugene area that sometimes feed other universities like the Ducks or the Beavs or whatever. So, again, these are two teams that want to get past five wins. Mm-hmm. In Sheldon's case, past two.
All right. Tell us what we're expecting to see from the Titans tonight.
Titans, pretty much, they have they lost 7 or 8 on both sides of the ball, but they have a good upfront balance with center guard and right tackle that have returned from last year. But much like Sheldon, who played a young team last year, pretty much more JVs than varsity, they have a lot of young returnees. They've got 3 sophomore starters on offense, 2 on defense on the Sheldon side. They're led by some outstanding hitters. But as far as the Titans are concerned, new quarterback, new key players, some guys that were 3-year starters are gone for the Titans. So we're going to find out real probably in the first half after they get by the jitters on both sides, just how good the Titans will be. The great thing about West Salem and how he's has been, they've got Sean Stanley and his team of former college players from everywhere from Western Oregon to the University of Oregon sitting on the sideline and giving them expert help. So I really think the Titans truly have a very good chance of coming up with an opening season win here at home, and we're glad to broadcast it. And, of course, other teams are going to be busy as well tonight around the area. And one good thing is we're no longer part of that group of schools playing each other from Southern Oregon, Grants Pass, the Medfords, et cetera. We're all in, well, what I can call the old Valley League, McNary, North, South, West, and Sprague, all together in one league only. And then they have an opening 2 or 3 games that are outside the conference.
Yeah, and of course, you and Charlie spent a lot of time over the last couple of months putting this broadcast schedule together, because this is the kickoff of our high school football games of the week. I think the first 3 weeks we got a local team matching up with a not-so-local team, and then we bring it all home for the rest of the way.
Yeah, next week we'll be at North Salem when Aloha comes in, another team that is returning to resilience. They also lost some coaches and players. That's next week, of course. And in 2 weeks, we'll be back with Sheldon again, but down in South Salem at Sprague High, where the Olies, ranked number 12 in the state in the preseason poll, will have a very good opportunity to show just how good they have gotten since last year. And then we're talking about 2 teams or 3 teams right there that were all either playoff bound or almost there last year. And of those 3, I think North's going to struggle because they lost a lot of key players and to graduation as well as a couple of transfers. And they don't have the depth that West and Sprague do. And those are the 2 teams that Charlie and I and many feel, Landon Bartlett of the Statesman Journal, we believe they're going to battle for the title this year, such as it is in Special District 1 or the Valley League, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, and of course, that's our first month of games, except for September 18th. You are going to be over at McNary High School, where McKay and McNary are going to be reigniting their rivalry. But it is a special game because it will be online only, as that is also the night of a Ducks game.
That's right. The Ducks are on. They sneaked in. We tried to have Jerry Ellen talk Dan Lanning out of it. He would not listen to us, so, or other high schools. So we will be doing online only, which KYKN.com, we're there every Friday anyway. We're there every day. Mm-hmm. So we're excited to be able to bring that game. And, of course, as my late and good friend Mark Gilman from KBZY used to say, that is the battle of the golden arches, McNary and McKay. So we're always excited to watch those two teams. And I'm real excited for McNary, being a Kaiserite for over 30 years. All my kids graduated from McNary. What the new coaching staff and their second year are going to do out there. We're really excited about to see how that turns around. And then, of course, will South Salem be better? That's the other discussion that comes up as well, because they were young last year, but they've got the top receiver in the state, South does, and the top quarterback in the state, one of the top two. And all they can do is get better.
Well, yeah, and of course, we'll find out in October when we get that next round of slate of games, because we are going to get the best matchups in the area out on our airwaves, because gosh darn it, that's what we do here.
Well, that's why we have a game of the week, and it's tough to say no to some things. Like, for instance, Sprague's got a good game. We're going to have reports from my friends who work at these schools are happy to send us quarterly scores. So throughout our game, you'll be hearing scores from other teams as well. I've got the score from Corvallis at McNary coming through tomorrow night. In fact, it's going to be a big time, because Silverton, our 5A champion over there on the other side of the county, they are hosting a very, very tough rival, and they're going to find out real fast just how good they are in Silverton. So we'll have the score from that ball game as well, and they're going to be taking on Corvallis, who has improved as well. So, and that is a reminder to say, in October, we will be doing our 5A game of the year. And it's a game of the year in the Valley. And that's Dallas, number 7 in the state, hosting number 1 ranked currently, Silverton. And that will be in October.
All right. Big things are coming on the high school football front, Mike.
We're excited about it, and we're happy to bring it to you. Our pregame always 6:30 with our pregame. We have an interview with Sean Stanley tonight. I invite you to listen at halftime, because Landon Bartlett, we reduced some of his interview we had at our football special last week, and he talks just about the Salem Kaiser schools for about 4 minutes. That'll be at halftime to give you a little highlight as well. As you can tell, we're kind of amped up about tonight's game.
Yeah, it's going to be kind of fun out there. Any final thoughts, Mike, before we let you go finish getting set up for your pregame show?
Well, other than we're just glad to be able to do it. We're grateful to sponsors. We're just grateful to be able to come up and bring you the game of the week and do our best to give you the scores of other games as we come along. I think we have a really good lineup the rest of the year. And as October comes around, as big other games present themselves as being better, we'll be keeping you up to date on that. All you have to do is look at our calendar or look up on our Jumbotron, and you'll find out what game we're doing week to week. But other than that, if you leave me talking, I'm going to waste another minute. So I think we should probably go, and I'm going to get plugged in.
All right. Sounds good, Mike.
Thanks, fellas.
All right. Take care, Mike.
All right. Take us out, Jeff. Take us out.
All right. Well, Sports Ticket right here on 1430 KYKN. We'll be back after this.
Back to the Capital Toyota Sports Ticket. Now, here's Jeff Morgan and Hunter Newton on 1430 KYKN.
And welcome back to the Sports Ticket. Appreciate Mike Gallagher taking some time as he's trying to set up there out at West Salem. You never know, that guy. I mean, shoot.
It's good to interrupt him every once in a while.
Well, he gets on a mission. You can't interrupt that guy, and so I really do appreciate his time, because he's focused. He's one focused individual.
That's right. Well, and he's got all that knowledge. He's able to talk on a whim while he's probably got gear and a slice of pizza in his hand. So
probably true. No doubt. Well, hey, by the way, this thing is being brought to you by Turner Pizza and Tap House out there in the fine confines of the city of Turner, right down there. What is it? 3rd Street, I think. I think that's the main drag
right
out there.
On the main drag.
I mean, if you blink, you go by it. So it's, you know, but in my opinion, it's probably the best pizza.
Oh, phenomenal. We were there last Friday for our special football season kickoff show, and I ate way more pizza than I planned on eating.
You know, it was so good. They took really good care of us out there. I mean, Lucas, Chad wasn't there. Brian, you know, all those three guys, the owners, I mean, they're doing it right out there, and they're hiring the right people.
Yeah, no, it was a wonderful experience, a great time for a couple hours. Get to hear you and the Tailgater crew talking about our upcoming duck season. Mike and Charlie with some high school football preview stuff. It was a fun evening. Wish you could have been there to join us, everybody out there.
Well, some people did, but there was only so much room.
You know,
it was pretty packed.
I got a couple of great pictures of how many people were there listening to what you had to say.
I'm not sure that's very important, but anyways, here we are, and here I am, and here Hunter is.
Well, the one thing we didn't get to in the college football preview part of that show was the current Lane Kiffin LSU saga.
You know, this has gotten so out of control. We've been talking about this earlier in the show, how there's no control, there's no laws, there's no anything. It's a free-for-all right now in any which way but loose. I mean,
college.
What can you even say about this?
College football right now is the wild, wild, wild west. I mean, it is ridiculous what's going on. Everybody looking for that loophole. I guess when you have like 100 teams in NCAA football, somebody's going to be checking for a loophole. Lane Kiffin's the most current one, signing, three former NFL signees to come and join his LSU team for this season.
You know, this guy has always pushed the limits wherever he has been. I mean, USC pushed the limits, got kicked out of that place or fired or whatever happened years ago.
Removed.
Yeah, removed. That's a pretty good
summary.
Pretty good summary of that. And then I can't even remember where he went after that, but obviously Ole Miss is his previous team, who he totally hosed those guys.
He walked out on them.
I mean, my gosh, and they went to the college football playoff, and that's not as good as going to LSU. Or what am I trying to say?
Starting his career.
Yeah, it's
LSU.
Just like you'd rather go to LSU than stay and go to the college football playoff the team that you've like created.
Here's the reality. If you were going to leave Ole Miss and go to LSU as the coach, LSU would probably be okay with you finishing out and coaching in the championships and in the playoffs for Ole Miss. But instead, it's like, pack my bags, I'm out the door.
You know, Lane has no conscience. I mean, he's going to do whatever he wants. He's going to manipulate anything to win.
Oh yeah.
Which I guess that's what he's being paid to do in Louisiana.
Let's be honest right now, the landscape of college football right now, that's what everyone is being paid to do.
Well, I mean, and you also have to look at the rule book too. I mean, to be honest, Dan Lanning, you know, one game, I think that was against Ohio State, where he used a player going to, or 12 men on the field on defense, and the clock continued to run, and you don't put that time back on, and he knew the rule. And that really was indicative of them winning that football game.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, everybody's looking for an edge. But this is like not an in-game edge. This is just like a semi-pro league edge.
Well, and that's the kicker. So coming out of all of this, there's a lot of kicking and screaming across, in particular, the SEC about what's happening at LSU. Because a lot of other coaches are screaming foul. You can't, you know, standard for college football has always been, once a player was drafted or signed with an NFL team, they were ineligible to return to college. Well, so much has changed. So much has changed. It used to be, if a freshman at your college went and hired himself a representation for a professional level, they were removed from the team. So I sit here and I go, is he really breaking the rules in having a couple of guys that signed NFL contracts, went to training camps, got cut, and still have college eligibility remaining coming back to LSU? Well, now even the SEC is suing LSU to make this stop.
You know, I think when you get judges involved, instead of having the hierarchy in the NCAA make any decisions or even want to make a decision, because they don't even know what the rules are there. Well, and so realistically, why is the NCAA even exist if they don't even abide or have any rules for these coaches to abide by? Now that these players do have agents, everything has changed. just like you said, because typically when you hired an agent, you were gone. Well, now you can't do that because the players are getting paid. And even high school players, like you were talking about, they have agents.
Yep.
And so everything, it's all professionalized now.
Well, and here's the kicker. The most fundamental of those rules are the longstanding provisions that prohibit individuals who have entered a professional draft, signed professional contracts, or been rostered on professional athletics teams from returning to compete in college athletics. The problem is like you just said, once you start paying people, you are professionals. There are professional boxers out there who are in a bingo hall in Buffalo, New York right now because they're getting paid to box. There are professional wrestlers. Yeah, well, wrestling's professional wrestling and amateur wrestling are two very different things.
That's true.
But let's go into MMA. There are professional fighters. There are professional tennis players. There are professional golfers that aren't on the PGA Tour because they are paid to go out and play. So college players are now being paid to go out and play. Heck, there's some high school players out there that are getting paid to go out and play. Therefore, under that old long-time standing, they are professionals.
And, you know, they're not only are they getting paid, but don't think that they're not getting a car.
Mm-hmm.
Getting food, getting anything under the sun now, because again, the NCAA has not drawn up any rules. They just let the cat out of the bag, and it's a free for all.
Well, virtually the rules the way they used to be. You know, ask Reggie Bush about these things. It's pretty much like, you know, as long as we don't catch them giving you all of these things, it's okay to do. If we catch you, well, now we have to punish you and your team for it. Well, now what do you do? There is no way to punish based on the way things currently are in college football.
That's why the NCAA needs to be revamped, removed, something. And I guarantee you something's going to happen. The SEC has already threatened to go away from the NCAA. And I guarantee you that they're talking to other conferences and there's going to be a big move. I don't know whether it's going to be in season or if it's going to be after the season's over. We don't know, but all hell's going to break loose.
Well, I mean, there's things that will be shelved until the season over. SEC, you know, leaving the NCAA, that will be after the season. That's not going to happen in season. And I know if they do, at the end of the year, there's three other conferences that are going to follow them right at the door, and you're going to have a, you know, top-tier college level. You're going to have a second-tier, you know, so on and so forth. We can get into that later. But realistically, some of these things will occur during the season. Like this lawsuit from SEC towards Lane Kiffin and LSU, it's not going to be resolved in the next 24 hours. So therefore, what you're going to have, minus a judicial injunction keeping these players off the field, is LSU is going to send out former NFL training camp rejects out onto the field. They are going to get to play a college football game or two this year before any kind of court ruling removes them or allows them to stay with the team.
Well, how do you think that feels for being on the LSU team? I mean, you've got guys that have won their positions, maybe, and they're just going to get booted when these other, you know, subpar NFL players. Because are they really any good? If they couldn't make an NFL team, guess what? There's kids in college football right now. They could go to the NFL right now and play and start.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, how good are these guys? Well, really? Lane is just like, I mean, I don't blame him. If you can do it, why not do it? But I mean, I don't think it's going to benefit his team. I think it's going to cause more controversy, and you're going to have a whole lot of crap going on in your locker room.
All right, let's put it this way. So a part of the marketing of college football, controversy can play an amazing role. Colorado brings in Deion Sanders, and for a two-win team, they got more newsworthy in front of cameras than a lot of you know, 10-win teams.
But that's Deion, man. I mean,
But Lane Kiffin's going the same route. Controversy creates cash. Okay, it's a known saying. Deion, I mean, right now I saw a thing earlier today that said, you know, new controversy in Colorado. Deion's letting them put their Twitter handles on their jerseys. And of course, it got fact checked. And he's been letting them do this since he started on their practice jerseys. They don't have their Twitter handles out there on game day, but in their practice jerseys, they can do
whatever.
What
is that, like a barcode?
It's a little like at symbol and yada, yada, whatever. Cool name.
Yeah, barcodes are coming.
I mean, you remember the XFL with He Hate Me on his jersey. I mean, those. And of course, now, you know, we got, you know, whatever little catchphrase they're putting
on
the back of their helmets.
No, I
and
know.
This and that. I'm kind of going, you know, let's get back to playing the
game.
Stop
hate.
Yeah. And unfortunately, that's the thing is Lane Kiffin recognizes that You have two ways of being successful in college football. You either be the front of every headline you can possibly be, or you win a championship. Is LSU going to win a championship this year with, you know, former NFL players on the team? Maybe, probably not. You know,
it's hard to say.
But he can create a whole lot of excitement, a whole lot of headlines. And guess what? Now, a year from now, kids are a little more interested to join the Lane Kiffin circus. And the year after that, a little more. Let's keep going. Let's build this thing to that championship.
Yeah, and let's just create so much chaos. And then that's what it's breeding.
Uh-huh. That's what it's all
breeds
about.
Breeds chaos. And that's where we are. The most chaotic world I've ever seen in my entire life. Including sports now.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. You know, a couple of years ago, Shedeur Sanders enters the NFL draft, and Deion got more publicity during that draft for those players and where are they going to go. And that, I mean, that was the big topic of conversation. They're going to go first overall or last overall. That's the most Deion's been talked about in NFL draft since he was drafted.
And that was his ploy because he wants to be in the spotlight. He's prime time.
So does Lane Kiffin, obviously.
Yeah, no kidding. Whether but Lane it's prime ain't time, no prime time.
Whether it's Lane Kiffin wants it, whether it's prime time in the news, prime time on TV, or prime time in a courtroom. Okay, buddy?
Are we going to get busted for using prime time? I mean, I don't know. Is that, it's got some royalties or it's got some trademark on it? I don't even know.
Well, the TV industry still uses it as their, you know, most watch evening hour. So,
you know, I think some pizza place here in town got busted for that one. Remember Primetime Pizza?
Well, yeah, you can't write it out there and make it your your big thing.
Well, now they're Odmos.
Well, speaking of primetime, you know, we've got another, you know, little bit until we got a turnover for the pregame show, which is in prime time for the high school football.
You gotta love Chris Berman. I remember the prime time.
There you go.
That's great. All right, we gotta get out to a break. Sports Ticket, prime time. Right now, we'll be back after this.
The Capital Toyota Sports Ticket with Jeff and Hunter continues on 1430 KYKN.
And welcome back to the Sports Ticket. College football chaos. That's what we are. Number one right here. At 1430 KYKN, this segment being brought to you by Skyline Ford, Skyline's Kaiser Ford. Appreciate their support of Duck football and high school football.
That's right. They're a football community. We'll put it that way.
Absolutely.
All right. This time of the year, one of our favorite things to do around the office is get on our college pick'ems.
I love this,
Warren Franklin sets this up for us, and we all have a great time. So we figured, with week one continuing this weekend, we could run down the list of the pick'em options. All right, I'm going to start here, Jeff. You better give me some opinions here. The Tulane Green Wave against the Duke Blue Devils.
I think I took Bluke and Bluke.
Bluke.
the Bluke Dublet Devils.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay. Jeff shouldn't be on the radio. That's a little tongue twister. All right. What about the Boston College Eagles at the Cincinnati Bearcats?
You know, I took Cincinnati in this one. I like them at home. I think they play tough. Last year, they were really, really good. Boston College, I think they got some work to do.
All right. The Baylor Bears at the Auburn Tigers.
I think I took Auburn in this one. I like the home teams.
The home teams. Wyoming Cowboys at Colorado State Rams.
I like at Colorado State. Mm-hmm. I think they've got a good ball club. Wyoming struggles a little bit. It's a good rivalry.
All right. Speak of the devil. The Clemson Tigers at number 11, LSU Tigers.
You know, unfortunately, I have to go with Lame Kiffin. Because LSU, you know, what are the swamp? And that's not the swamp. It's what do they call that? The swamp is Florida.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
Death Valley.
Yeah. Okay.
Is it Death Valley?
It probably is.
Whatever.
You know, the marshlands, whatever you'll call it. All right. How about this one? These are teams playing their second games of the season. The 0-1 UNLV Running Rebels at the 0-1 Hawaii Rainbow Warriors.
That's a toss up. I'm going to go with Hawaii.
Because they're at home.
With 1 point.
1 point for Hawaii at home. All right, here's one that you should be well rehearsed. The Western Kentucky Hilltoppers at the Nevada Wolfpack.
Guy, that's a tough one again.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you always want to go with the home team, but I'm thinking I want to go with Western Kentucky. I think they're a good ball club.
All right,
I think, but I don't
ball.
Know for sure.
All right, this one's going to hit a little closer to home. UCLA Bruins at the California Golden Bears.
You know, UCLA's got, I think, don't they have a new coach this year?
I think so.
I just don't know if they've got a good team this year. I think I'm going to go with Cal because Cal did really well last year. I think they got some good players coming back.
All right, big time ranked matchup. Number 24, Louisville Cardinals at number 9, Ole Miss Rebels.
I'm going Ole Miss.
I'm putting
10 on that one.
There you go. And then at number 19, the SMU Mustangs at Florida State Seminoles. Florida State Seminoles already 1-0 on the season.
I think I'm going Florida State.
I think so, too. I think that's going to be the upset of the weekend right there. Florida State taking out number 19, SMU.
Yeah, anytime you get past 15, that's a toss-up.
Well, but you're also talking, we're in, you know, week one continued.
Week one continued. What is that?
Well, because they played last weekend, we had a handful of games. They were all considered week one. So now we got teams playing their second game of the season still in week one.
I think we should call it week 1.5.
Okay, week 1.5.
This is a long show. I'm just letting you know. 1.5 is a long time to be on the radio.
I know.
At least it is for me.
A little tongue-tied.
Confused. I need some water.
Coming up with names of what to call the second round of week one games.
The book dew levels. I mean, I don't know.
We're here to have a good time. That's
absolutely
what we're here for. All right. So I'm going to ask you the bonus question. This is the tiebreaker. How many total points will be scored in LSU versus Clemson?
I think 65.
All right.
There's going to be a lot of points.
Yeah, I think so too. I think it's going to be a high scoring game.
If that's a lot of points, I mean, what, 33-30 or somewhere in that vicinity?
Something like that.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, I can see it. Definitely like 38-30 or something along those lines. 38-27.
Yeah, right there in that vicinity.
Yeah. A 1-2 score game.
I like it.
All right. We'll come back. We got one more segment still to go before we hand it off over to Charlie and Mike.
Thank goodness.
West Salem High School. You've been listening to The Sports Ticket on 1430 KYKN. We'll be right back.
Back to the Capital Toyota Sports Ticket. Now, here's Jeff Morgan and Hunter Newton on 1430 KYKN.
And welcome back to The Sports Ticket. This segment being brought to you by Auto Team Service Center. A better way to maintain your car. That's where I take my car.
They're now located on the best road in all of Salem, Oregon.
It's amazing. I mean, it really is. I mean, unfortunately, some of the businesses weren't able to make it because of all that construction.
Well, it tells you so much when Jeff detours down McGillcrest just to drive on the butter.
You know, the funny thing is that when you're trying to turn in to a couple of businesses, they put these sidewalks in the stupidest places where you can't even turn into the business without like almost getting rear-ended because you can't even get into the median to turn.
Yeah.
Without somebody's coming up your backside. It's just like, I don't know who designs this stuff, but
not the best and the brightest.
Well, I'm not sure.
Probably well, maybe once these designers were all done, they went over and called the NCAA and said, "Hey, can we join your front office?"
But it's like, "Well, no, we don't have any rules."
No, we love confusion.
Oh, it's terrible. All right, speaking of a little bit more NCAA football, we got the Ducks taking on the Boise State Broncos tomorrow.
Yep.
That's a 12:30 kickoff. And, you know, Ducks are favored by over 24 points. And that seems a little much to me.
I think that's much. I can see being favored. I would probably put it around 14-17.
I agree.
24 seems a little overboard, especially against a Boise State team, which, yeah, they weren't as good as they were, you know, have been in the past in the last couple of years. But they're still a good team. And they get excited to come to Oregon.
Well, the fact of the matter is they won. What were they in the Mountain West? Or they were in the Mountain West, yeah. Right? Now they're the Pac-12, I think.
Yep.
The newly revised Pac-12. But they got a lot of returners, including their quarterback, Madsen. And they won. They won it. They won the Mountain West last year. So they're a good ball club.
Yep.
So you can't. I mean, are the Ducks good yet? Yeah, do they have athletes? 100%.
Mm-hmm.
But still, you've got Dante Moore. Is he going to go through all his progressions? Is he going to throw a couple of picks?
Are they 24 points better than Boise State?
I don't see it. No. And well, the fact. Okay, so let's go back to last Saturday. USC was playing San Jose State.
Okay,
they were up 42-3. Well, what was the final score? It was 42-26. Because you're going to put your second, third strings in. Stuff's going to happen. They're going to score. It's probably going to be 35-10, maybe at halftime. But then by the end of the game, It's not going to be that way.
No, and that's the thing, especially when you're talking week one of college football season. A lot of these schedules are designed for a game that you're going to pull ahead in and then kind of ride it out, not force your guys to be out there for the full game in week one.
Well, like you were talking about earlier, there's a lot of history in this. I'll call it a rivalry mm-hmm. game, because really it's got that sense.
Yeah.
And you can't take Boise State for granted at all. They've got good players. They're well coached. And they're going to bring it. They've got nothing to lose. Are they coming into Autzen first game of the year? 100%. But they've done this before.
Yeah. They have come in and they have upset the Ducks.
They actually, that was a long time ago. Who was the quarterback back then? I want to see Maddox.
Or the Kellen Moore.
Kellen Moore. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He came in and beat him. And that's when Darren Thomas came in the second half and almost came back and won it for the Ducks. I don't know how I remember that crap. That's a long time ago. But yeah, Boise State has kind of their number. And if it wasn't for a fumble at the end of 2 years ago when Dylan Gabriel came in to be the quarterback, his first game, by the way, so they were still trying to get things mm-hmm. going, they would have lost that game.
Yeah.
And they went to the playoff at that point, too.
No, and that's what we got to recognize is there's a reason they play these games. And Boise State is going to come out ready to go. They're going to be fired up. And they get behind, they're going to come back and try and punch the Ducks right in the nose. So be ready for this thing, because I'm not saying it's going to be an upset, but I don't see it being a blowout.
You know, I know the Ducks have so many weapons. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, it is ridiculous. This is probably the best team that I've ever seen them have, and that's saying a lot. And Dan Lanning is a phenomenal coach.
Oh, yeah. No, he's top of the world. I'm going to tell you.
Ring the bell.
Yeah, ring the bell.
I got to take that with me, by the
way. That's right. Oh, you got to take it. Because guess what? You know what? Let's see. Oh, it'll be about 6:30 here in a few minutes. We've turned over them. You got to be at Autzen at 9:30 tomorrow morning for the tailgater.
That's when I go on the air. I'll be there a little earlier than that.
Yeah.
It's going to be a long day, but it's going to be a lot of fun. And I'm always excited to kick off the season. It's so much fun.
Well, it's a ton of fun around here because we've got, you know, like we said, high school football game of the week coming mm-hmm. up here in just a matter of minutes. Then tomorrow morning, you'll be out at Autzen at 9:30 for the tailgater show, Duck pregame show at 10:30, kickoff against Boise State at 12:30. And then at 5:30, we'll go over to the Mariners broadcast where they have first pitch at 6:40. Of course, on Sunday, we will be have the Mariner game on. I believe it is a noon pregame show start time and a 1:10. And then Labor Day Monday, there won't be a Newsmakers. If you listen to our noon show Monday through Thursday, Jerry Stewart will be filling in for the holiday. And I believe we do have Mariner baseball on. No, we don't have Mariner baseball on Monday night. Crazy they're not playing on Labor Day.
That's interesting. Usually baseball is all about holidays.
I always thought they played on Labor Day.
Huh, that's looking disappointing.
Well, I guess they need, you know, we're getting the A's at home for three. We'll go home, you know, have a day of namaste. And then Texas comes to town, and Texas is who you're chasing right now in the American League West.
Actually, it's Houston, I think. Houston's still in
first
place.
Houston's in first place. Texas is standing in the way. We got to get Texas out of the way first and then top Houston.
Well, they're both kind of standing in the way. I mean, if we're...
That whole stank state is in the way right
That's
now.
That's right. Oh, my gosh. All right. Well, shoot. It should be a great weekend. Lots of sports going on. It's the kick, well, the week and a half of the first week.
It's the first day of college football that matters for us in Oregon.
That's exactly right. Last week, it's just kind of ho-dunk.
That's right. No one
cared. Nobody cared about that. Now we're finally in it. Now the real teams are playing.
That's right. The Ducks.
That's
the
right.
Beavers. They'll be out there too.
I don't know who the Beavers are playing this week. I haven't looked.
Well, I got like 30 seconds. Let's look real fast. Oh, they're at Houston. Oh, Texas is in the way again. they got a 9 o'clock start time at the University of Houston. Number 23 ranked Oregon State is,
you know, what's up with these 9 o'clockers for these West Coast teams, because the Ducks next week, they have to go to Oklahoma State and it's another 9 a.m. kickoff Pacific time.
Well, that's what they get. The punishment of leaving the Pac-12 for the Big Ten.
Well, the Beavers didn't do that. They're the new Pac-12.
Well, but they had to...
it's really the Pac-8, isn't it? It's the Pac-8.
It's Pac-8.5. Zags are in there. Gonzaga?
Well, basketball.
But they don't play football, so it's the 8.5. The Pac-8.5. Come up with the new names. Week 1.5, Pac-8.5, whatever it takes.
Oh,
that's
gosh.
What we're here for.
That's funny. All right. Well, shoot. Well, if you need something to eat, you can either go to Domino's, you can go to Turner Pizza, or you can go down to Bow and Vine.
If you need
or
a car.
Or how about, Cozy's is closed. You can't go there.
Not tonight.
Maybe Cheers.
Yeah.
Cheers down there, the old Gambaretti's used to be.
Well, we've got amazing.
Pringle Plaza.
You could just do what Jeff does and just go cruise up and down McGilchrist. One end to the other.
I don't think anything's
just
open.
Just don't try and make a turn off of it because the guy behind you might not like it.
That's exactly right. All right. We're going to give it up to Mike and Charlie. Thanks for listening to us. Enjoy that ball game out at West Salem. Take care, everybody. Until next week, have a great weekend.
This has been the Capital Toyota Sports Ticket with Jeff and Hunter every Friday at 5 p.m. on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.